Kumlan Lablat Gemara. We are up to Daf Lamed Hey Amid Aleph, and we learned in the Mishnah that if you placed the food that you want to use to extend your tchum, you placed it in a box and you lost the key, the Tanna Kama said it's a valid Eidiv, and Rabbi Elazar said it isn't. And we tried to understand why the Tanna Kama holds it's a valid Eidiv, it's inaccessible. So the first answer that we gave was that we're talking about a box made out of bricks which are not cemented together. And therefore, and even on Shabbos it's Muktir, but on Yom Tov it's all right. And therefore you're allowed to do that. And that's the case that we're talking about. Okay, so then we continue here. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, the Ami Tavayu. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef will say a different pshat altogether. We're not talking about bricks at all whatsoever. What are we talking about? Hocha, we're talking about the migdal shel eitzes kinim. We're talking about a box, let's say, or a closet made out of wood, or a tower made out of wood. Now, we say that a keli, once it's 40 saw is considered like a permanent, very heavy to move, so it's considered more like it's stationary. Less than 40 saw is considered portable. So we're talking about here a 40 saw wooden keli, and that's the machlekes. Ma'a sovar keliu, it's only a keli, it's a vessel, even though it's 40 saw, as far as Shabbos is concerned, it's looked at a vessel, the ain binyan bekeli, the ain stira bekeli. There's no din of breaking or building when it comes to vessels, and this is considered a vessel. Umar savar oilu, and Rabbi Elazar holds it's an oil, and therefore he says, I don't care, Shabbos or Yom Tov, you cannot break it open because it's not the keli. You're breaking the permanent house down, and I'll do that on Shabbos. Says the Gemara over Plukten, and where do you know that such a machlek is the Hani Tanaim? So Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef both agree that this is pshat, and they base it on machlekes of other Tanaim. But now we learned. If a zov is somebody who had emissions, or a zov, a woman who had emissions outside her regular cycle, and they are tummy, and it now we learn hekish if they knocked back or banged on al gabi sheda teva or midl sheda is the chariot, you know, you attach to horses for women, as she says, teva or midl, different kinds of boxes. So if you moved it tummy, and they are tummy. Now these are larger than 40 saw, and the Tana says you are tummy. And Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Shimon Matari. Rabbi Shimon said, no, they don't become tummy. Now, what's the crux of their argument? My lab hakamifagi. Mar savar keliu. He holds it's a keli, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. That's a tanakama. Well, mar savar Nechemia, Rabbi Shimon hold oyelu. It's not a keli because it's so big, and therefore it's just like a house, and a house does not become tummy, even though you moved it. Now, why are we talking about moving it? If he touched it, then that itself makes a tummy. So Rashi says, it's talking about he wore a glove. And therefore, they don't become tummy through touching it, but you come tummy, or he had a long piece of wood, you become tummy through moving it. Omer Abaye, so the next generation of Abaye attacks both of his rebbes at the same time. It is, but that makes sense. But Tanya, we learned in Abraise, oil, if you have an oil, you want to say the arguing whether it's an oil or whether it's a keli. Well, it says it was an oil, v'nisit, and it moved. In other words, it wasn't really lodged well in the ground, and it was sort of rickety, and it could move easily. And if a zov go ahead and touched it, and it moved it, tummy. It is tummy, even though it's an oil. You just said that if it's an oil, it's not become tummy, and keli it is. Clearly, even an oil, if it moves because of the zov, on account of the zov, it's tummy. On the other hand, keli, the ain v'nisit, doesn't move, tired. So it's irrelevant whether it's a keli or whether it's an oil or something which is larger than 40 saw. The question is whether it moved or not. Uktoni, say a further one. It says also in the Braisa, in the end of the Braisa, it says there, on the regarding the Braisa that you guys learned before, you brought before, but if a zav moved the box, v'im hoyu nisaitin, it says it clearly, and if they moved, tameim. And it said there that if they moved, they're all tameim. That means even the Chemin of Shimon, I'm made it that if it moved, it's tameim. So your whole pshat is wrong. You said everyone hold and move. The question is whether it's an oil or a keli. It says clearly, if it moved, then why just tummy? Which means that it didn't really move. So what's going on here? Nothing to do with what you're saying. They're arguing whether a large box is a keli or an oil. So I'll tell you what pshat is. Is there a clown? The price said, this is the rule. Nisid machmas koichai. Yes, the rule is, if it moved because you made it lezov, or the zova made it move, then tummy, because the zov made it move. Machmaser other. Let's say the zov gave a stamp on the ground, and that caused that this item should move. Then tire, because it's indirect. So what's the machlekes? Oh, by you, kuli alma. I'll tell you the machlekes. Nothing to do. It's all totally unrelated to a keli oil. The machlekes there is kuli alma heis and machros kleicher tummy. If you made it move, it's tummy. I don't care how large it is. Mach maser other. If you tap the ground and it caused it to move, everyone holds that it's not tummy. Toy. The hoch over here, but the other machlekes in here, you actually made it move, but it's in its own place. It didn't move. In other words, you shook it and it didn't move. It just stayed in one place. What happens then? In other words, you moved the keli itself. You touched the keli, but the keli is shaking, rocking back and forth, but doesn't actually move from its original place. Throughout the lulim means, you know, shaking or trembling. That's the machlekes. How come it's gimasa? But Rabbi said the fact is that it moved, even though it didn't move physically from its place, but it jumped around. Well, masava lo havi hesed. No, so it goes back to the question. So you, Abaya, you reject Rabbi Yisrael Pshat in our Mishnah. So how come the Tanakhama says you let it go in? It's a full box, and you're saying that what? That the Tanakhama holds on nothing to do with a keli and a keli you let it break in. So what is it? This Abai and Rava joined together, and they have a whole other pshat in the Mishnah. It's talking about bimano. We are talking about that there is a lock on the door, and the kotir, and it's tied with a rope. The kotir bimishnaskin is tied with a rope. That's what we're talking about. And what the only way to get into there is through a knife. Uboyi sakina, and you need a knife lemifsky to get through it. Now, To cut through those ropes is an Issa de Rabbanon. Mekalkul, so it's Osir mid de Rabbanon. That's one Issa de Rabbanon. And one Issa de Rabbanon, we said before, Bein Hashmoshes doesn't deter us at all, because we hold like Rebbe that Bein Hashmoshes de Rabbanon is a mutter. But it possibly is a second de Rabbanon here, and that's the issue. Tani kamasov lo Rabbi Yisi, hold like Rabbi Yisi, that there's no problem taking a knife to cut a rope. So the only issue you have is one de Rabbanon de Amakol, Hakele Mitolim B'Shabbos, you'll have to take any keli. On Shabbos, even something which is a hammer, a dedicated hammer which is meant to knock in nails, but since you can use it for permitted use, you're allowed to move it for that use. Chuz, the only thing you're allowed to do is mesa gadol, a large saw, or the yesesha machrisha, or the metal piece that you use for a plowshare, because those are very expensive, and you're not going to use it for any other purpose. So that's called muktze machmas chsorn kis. If you have a very expensive item, and you will not use it for any other purpose other than what it's set aside for, and what that is something which is also on Shabbos, that is mukta. But otherwise, you're allowed to move it. So therefore, according to the Kama, you're allowed to take the knife to cut the rope. The only problem is you're cutting the rope, you're ruining it. A rope that was all tied it together. So that's when the Rabbanon and Mekalkul, and one Rabbanon were lenient. However, Rabbi Lezer saw look at Rabbi Nechemia. We had Rabbi Nechemia in Masechta Shabbos, the Amud, who says that I feel a talus, even a talus, which, what's wrong with a talus? Or I feel a tarvet, a spoon, what's wrong with a spoon? You can only use it for its main use. What its main use is. So even though it's a klish malachtel heter, even though it's whatever you're doing with it is permitted, you can only use it for its main use. And it's not meant to be used to cut ropes, it's meant to use cut food and knife. Therefore, he holds us two Rabbanans there, one for the knife and one for cutting the rope. And two Rabbanans we do not allowed. Yeah. okay, yeah, back to the Gemara. I'm looking at Tesis, because Tesis here argues on Rashi the whole idea of whether it's binyan or stira bekeli or not. And, okay. Tesis wants to learn from here that the only discussion here is regarding the rope itself. But if it would have been a keli, you're not allowed to break the keli, and he concludes that when we say there's no binyan steer of kelim, it's like minor things, but to actually break the keli, he holds there is a problem of binyan steer of kelim. Not like Rashi learns, there's no such thing as breaking or building when it comes to kelim. And Tosafot holds there is binyan steer of kelim, it's only because you're tearing the rope. Okay, next Mishnah. What happens, you put the food down, and then this galgul chutz l'tchum. What happens if it rolls out, the food suddenly blew away, the wind came and blew it away, outside of the tchum? Then it's no longer native. Why is it no longer a native? Because you can't have no longer access to it. So in other words, from your house to all the way to the edge of 2000 Amma, and then you put it right on the very edge of 2000 Amma, and the wind came and blew it away. Right. Now you cannot be kind of shvisa with that. So the only shvisa you have is your own home, and you couldn't go and retrieve it. or Nuffel of Gal, even though it didn't blow away, but an avalanche came and fell on it. Now it's no there's no way of getting to it, because we're talking about that you need a shovel to get to it, and the shovel has to be, you've put a nail in, a peg in, which is Maka Patrick, you can't do that. Or let's say he got burned, which means it's no longer there. This is all talking about during the period of twilight. Or truma v'nitmas, he placed truma there, even though it's not suitable to you, it's suitable for a kohen. But now it became tummy, it's not suitable for anybody. So it depends when it happened. Maybe if it happened before Shabbos, ain't a yadiv. It's not an yadiv, because when it came to twilight, the beginning of Shabbos, it wasn't there. All four cases. Mishach HaShechava, once it's already Shabbos, Hareiz Eidu, who cares what happens on Shabbos? As long as during twilight, it was all there in extant. What about Safik? You don't know, you weren't there. You come later tomorrow morning, you see it's gone, or you see all these things. But you don't know when it happened, so it's a Safik. Rab Meir, Rab Yehuda, Oimim, Hareiz Chomer Gomel. It's like you're leading a donkey, leading a camel. The story is as follows. When we explained, when it comes to Tchum Shabbos, where do you get that extra 2,000 amos from? Let's say you want to walk to the east, to the end of the city, and you want to walk an extra additional 2,000 amos. Where are you getting it from? You're cutting it out from the right of your house. So let's say when you live in your house, you can walk 2,000 amos to your right, 2,000 to your left. If you decide to add more amos to your left at the end of the city, then you forfeit the 2,000 amos on your right. If you decide to walk only an extra 1,000 amos outside the city, then you forfeit 1,000 amos on the right. So now, since you don't know when it happened, this question, if it happened after Shabbos started, then it was a valid chum. You lost 2,000 amos on your right, but you have 2,000 amos extra on your left. But if it happened before Shabbos, then you don't have the extra 2,000 amos on the left, but you do have the 2,000 amos on the right. But since we don't know what happened, we're going to be machmer. We cut out the 2,000 amos on the right, because maybe it happened before Shabbos, but we don't give you the additional 2,000 amos, because maybe it happened after Shabbos began. So you're like a donkey and a camel, where a camel you lead from behind, and the donkey you lead from before on the front. So you gotta, you know, you have to look both ways when you're traveling. Here also, you're affected in both sides. However, Rabbi Yisir, Rabbi Shimon, I mean, Safik, Eidiv, Kosher. The whole things are abundant anyway, so we are Mekel. And Omar Rabbi Yisir, Avtum was Heid, Avtum was once testified, Meshum Chamisha's Cain, in the name of five elders, Al Suffolk Adiv Kosher. He said in the name of five elders that a Suffolk of Adiv is actually kosher. Says the Gemara, Nizgal Gluchus Chum, it rolled outside of Chum. Amar Zerov, Aloshan, Nizgal Gluchus Lab Amis. It only went outside of the four Amis. Avtechai Amis, they said, oh, yes, Adav Amis. Remember we said before that every person has four Amis? And therefore, if it's 2,002 Amis, you can still retrieve it. And since you have four Amis, and the four Amis are two Amis in all directions, so you have four Amis. So if it's within the two Amis, then you can retrieve it, because for example, we learned that if your tchum ends right in the beginning of a house, you can walk the entire house. It's considered as if it's parked. So here also, the four amos is, since part of the four amos is inside the tchum, and part of the four amos is outside the tchum, then you're allowed to carry, you know, you're allowed to walk within the entire four amos, so it's accessible to you, and you're allowed to do that. Now the chayd avi's question is, let's say it's outside the tchum. What's the Isser of walking outside the Chum? Only the Rabbanon. Didn't we say before that according to the Rebbe, Isser and the Rabbanon we don't care about when it comes to Ben Hashmashas? So what's even the issue here? He said the wind blew it away. So the wind blew it away. And therefore, it's outside the Chum to get to it. But that's only Asim and the Rabbanon. But there's no Isser and Rabbanon, Ben Hashmashas. So here is different, because the whole thing you're trying to do, it's not a side issue, a side the Rabbanon that we ignore. You're trying to make an Eidiv with this food, but since this food is not worth supposed to be, even though it's only the Rabbanon, the fact is you didn't have your Eidiv. So this is different. This is like, it's contradicting what you're trying to do, or it's conflicting with what you're trying to do. Then the Mishnah said, Nuffel, Olav Gal, the Mishnah said, if it fell upon it like a whole pile, so what happens then? Says the Gemara, Kasal Kedata, the boy eats chocolate, that if you want, you can actually take it. So I mean, a pile fell in, so what's a big deal? So you work your way through the pile and you get to the food. Obviously, it's only Isos and Rabbanon, and our Mishnah will obviously cannot fall like Rebbe, because Rebbe holds an Isos and Rabbanon, there's no issue whatsoever. Go, why? Could you Rebbe on a Kodavish Mishnah? Should the Gazal Mishnah Mishnah? There's no problem. I feel the time is no, Kerebi. We're talking about the boy Morah. We're talking about a case here that you need a Morah, which is like a shovel, and the Chatzina, and like a rake or something, that you have to pull it out. And since taking it out is now an Issa deraisa using that, because in a way you're like building up or something, or you're plowing in your field, therefore it is osam ha'toyden. That's why you can't do that. Now, the two examples are really the same idea. The wind blows it away, or a heap fell on top of it. It's the same thing. It's inaccessible. Why do we need two examples? Utzricha, we need both. The iton is gal, well, the wind blew it away, mishum al seglas gabei. It's not there within your tchum. I will nafa all of gal, the isik gabei. The thing is right there where it's supposed to be, except you have a heap on top of it. Eimel lehevi eidiv, so we'll say, since you don't have to eat it anyway, and it's right there, maybe it's good enough. So after told, it's not. The iton is nafa all of gal, mishum al michbei, michsei, if it gal, let's say, because it's completely concealed, it'll never come back on its own. I will this gal, well, the wind blew it away. Tomorrow, it could be the wind will blow right back. Zim nindos iziko maisla, the wind could blow right back. Ema lehevi eidiv, so therefore we would think that it's a valid eidiv. So if we need both cases. Then it says, if you had a nisrif of it got burnt up, or truma became tummy. Loma litana nisrif, so why do you first of all have to tell us the case that it burnt up? Obviously, it burnt up, it's no longer there. What's the shaila? Like the acha koichad Rabbi Yasi, come to tell you the power of Rabbi Yasi. Rabbi Yasi and Rabbi Shimon both say, but if it's a suffix when it happened, we're very lenient. And here, there's nothing left. So you would think that we should be stricter. It's one thing if the wind blew it away, you can still see it, you know, whatever, it's a bit far. Or if it's under the gal, it's here. But here, it's gone, burnt up. Maybe in this case, Rabbi Yasi would agree, well, look, it's a suffix and there's nothing here, maybe we should be machmer. And the chiddush is that he's lenient. So why does it say the case of truma that became tamei? To teach you that even though the food is right here in front of you, the question is when it happened, that maybe it happened before Shabbos and you cannot rely on it. And because you might think, look, there's a chazakah, this was truma that was kosher. Something changed it. So we have a rule that whenever you don't know what happened, sometimes we rely on the chazakah, we rely on the situation, the status, what it was, but prior to this event happening. So let's say we can see it, it was tired till now, maybe it happened the last few minutes. So that's what it may still machmir for the safi, we are machmir. That's why we need that to teach you that chiddush. Says the Gemara, the sover a meir sveg l'chumra, but a meir whole taket that a safik is l'chumra. Especially you have a chazaka that says that maybe it didn't happen before, and yet you're so machmir. But now we learn, tom meishi yodat litpo, somebody was contaminated, and he went to the mikveh to tovel. Now mikveh requires 40 saw. Safik tovel, safik late tovel. It's questionable whether it was a valid mikveh or not, whether there was 40 saw in the mikveh or not. Yeah, Vafilu Toval, oh sorry, or was a suffix whether he was tovel properly or not, and even, in other words, what's the shaila suffix tovel? So was maybe some hairs were sticking out, or maybe he didn't tovel himself 100% properly, or he can't remember if he was tovel. Or Vafilu Toval, he did go to mikvah, he remembers clearly, but suffix tovel, bad boy, and saw, suffix tovel, bad boy, and saw, it's questionable whether there was a proper amount of water there. V'chein shnei mikvahs with two mikvahs. Ba'achas yesh bo abboim saw, or ba'achas ein bo abboim saw, two mikvahs. One definitely has a required amount of water, one definitely does not have. And he just doesn't remember which one he went into. V'tovel, ba'achas men, v'ein, the yedei basement tovel, he just doesn't know which one he went into. In all of these cases, sveikai tamei, it's a suffix, and we are machmer. Remember, Rami Yemen will just say, bitum mechamura. When is all he said? By a strict case of tumor, let's say, you know, you would touch the dead body or something, and the question is whether you became toy. Avol, but tumor kala, but a lenient tumor, which is only, let's say, tumor de rabbonon. Now, what's a tumor de rabbonon? We learned a few days ago that food cannot be metame a person. But if you ate a certain quantity of food, a half of a pras, now we had an argument in Tanoim and also in Halacha, whether a pras is the size of 4 eggs or the size of 3 eggs, and half of that, which is either 2 eggs or the size of 1.5 eggs. And if you eat that quantity, you become a tumidic of food, you become tame at least for truma. So it's only a tumidu rabban, it's only a chumra. You ate tumidic of food or you drank tumidic of drinks. Or if you went to the mikveh and immediately afterwards you took a shower, people started, we learned this in Shabbos, these are the 18 gzeiros they made from Shammai. People started thinking it's not the mikveh that made you tar, it's the shower afterwards. So you should do that. Or let's say stop. You took a shower, three, we draw the measures of drawing of water that you wash yourself. And again, we said in the Rabbanon, you should go to the mikveh because people start thinking this is the way to become toy. The yadad litbol, and then you went to the mikveh to toyvel. Sofik tovik, sofik tovel, and all these Rabbanons. Right, these are all tumid Rabbanons, so you decide to go to mikveh. And in this case, Suffolk Tavlok, I remember somebody, it's a much weaker Truma, he doesn't remember, did he tell himself or did he tell himself properly? I feel Tava, Suffolk Tavlok, Rabbi Mesor, the Rabbi Mesor, 40 Natsal, Rabbi Chen, Shnei Mikvoi, there were two mikvahs, the same case as before. Ba'achas Yesh Ba'abba Mesor, Ba'achas Ein Ba'abba Mesor, one had, one didn't. The Tava Ba'achas Men, Ve'edez Me'ezan, he went to one of the mikvahs, doesn't remember the good one or the kosher one or the not kosher one. Sfeika Tor, all these cases Tor. A strict Tumah we're machmer, but a lenient Tumah we are lenient. And Rabbi Yosi mitame, and Rabbi Yosi holds tame. So we actually, the Tana Kama, whenever we have a Tana, which is nameless, usually we say it's Rav Meir. So the first Tana is Rav Meir. In our Mishnah, Meir is strict. He says it's a suffix. We don't know when the truma, when the food disappeared. We're going to be machmer and say it happened before Shabbos, so you cannot walk in extra the amas, and you lose your forfeit also on the right side of your house. He's machmer. And here, Rav Meir is lenient. He says, by Rabbanim, we're lenient. In fact, we're going to ask Rabbi Yosi as well. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi is lenient. He says, a suffix, lenient will say that probably happened after Shabbos started already. And over here, by a Tumah de Rabbanim, Rabbi Yosi is machmer. The Gemara is going to ask that by Rabbi Yosi soon. So right now, the Gemara asks, so what's Pshat? Answering more simply, Kesavah Rameh Chumim de Raisa. Rameh holds Chumim de Raisa. Remember, Rabbi Akiva holds that Chumim de Raisa. Rameh was Rabbi Akiva's student, as we had before. Rameh learned by Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, so it makes sense. Rameh agrees with his Rebbe that Chumim is Mahatoyda. If it's not a Saf, the Rabbanu is a Saf de Raisa, and that's why he saw Machmer. Says Yimod, is that really so? The Kesavah Rameh Chumim de Raisa. I think he holds Chumim de Raisa, but now we learned. Now the thing like this. We're talking about it. You measure 2,000 amas on a level of ground. What happens? You're on a slope. What happens? You're on a slope. How do you measure a slope? If you're going to measure the slope, just going down and measuring it, it's not really fair because the distance you're going to cover might be only 1,000 amas if you're standing in the position where you started and you had a straight line. A beeline across, it might only be 1,000 amas, but it's 2,000 amas to get there because you slope downwards and you slope upwards. So how do you measure that? So we say as follows, that so this is what they did. They took a rope that was 50 amas long and they would measure every 50 amas. And so you do cover part of the slope, but you keep on changing the direction. It goes, the slope's a bit upwards, slope's a bit less. So every 50 amas, you're getting a more accurate picture. And otherwise, you would have a much greater area that you're covering. But now you're not covering such a large area, and therefore we're giving you a little bit back. So it's not totally It's not totally covered by that. Every 50 amas, you measure that, and you make it. And that's how you measure. So therefore, it's not you're not going a direct slope downwards. In other words, let's say, give a simple example. Let's say you're standing on the mountain. Suddenly there's a slope downwards that goes 20 feet, drops 20 feet, and then goes slowly back up. So you go up across, and you take a rope of 50 amas. If the new position that you're in is 50 amas from the old position, and you completely bypass that drop, and that incline that went down, and then when you went back up again, you've just now given yourself extra amas. Because if you would have to just measure as you're walking, it would have been 90 amas, because you go down and go back up. So it only really helps you when it's short distances that these drops and rises. The maximum is 50 amas. However, says the Gemara right there, but what happens? Okay, what happened? You can't. Let's say that you're on a mountain slope and the drop is 100 amas. So you can't use a 50 amma rope. Where are you going to go? You can't go to the other side of the mountain because it'll be 90 amas. So it's not going to work. You only have a 50 amma drop, so which means you're going to have to then continue walking with the rope straight downwards, and you're going to have included in your 2,000 amas all the inclines and rises. So really, it might end up being you're only walking 500 amas in a straight line. So what do you do there? The zoo amar of the stable of Yan Mishra Meir. He says the name of Meir. Shemaiti, I heard. Shemekadrin Behorim. You bear a hole right through the mountains. Now, how does that work exactly? It means that it follows. You no longer use a 50 amar rope. But what you do use is, you use a 4 amar rope. And this is what you do. You take short 4 amar ropes, the person standing higher up puts it by his feet, by his ankles, and there's another person standing 4 amars away and puts it by his heart. And you make a straight line there. So you're cutting out maybe not the entire slope if the incline is very steep, but you're cutting out a big part of the slope. It's giving you extra amas, and then you keep the next four amas, you go down each turn, you do it again. You need two people doing that. So the ankles of one and the heart of the next person there. And therefore, every four amas, you gain the distance of half the height of a person, or even more than half the height of a person, two-thirds the height of a person, from the guy's ankle to this person's heart. So therefore, suddenly, okay, you won't get the full 200 amas, but you'll get 120 amas, rather than just going down and up, and really all you move is 50 amas ahead. And the word Makadim means bearing a hole right through, as if you're bearing a hole right through the mountains, you're making a tunnel and you're walking right through the mountains. Yeah, so that's what he says. Now, so the Meir is the one who's lenient and he allows you to make this, you know, the ropes of four amas. Now, if the Meir would be Machman, how can you make such a leniency? When it comes to Din B'Torah, we don't imagine, could be, how do I know? When it comes to Ari Miklat, we know that when it comes to Ari Miklat, not only the city protects, you know, the people who killed by accident, but also the tchum of the city. And how do you measure the tchum? If there's, let's say, there's mountain cliffs and all that, we don't allow this, or mountains around it and the slopes, we don't allow this this imagination of Mikadrin, because it's Mahatayra. The Leib Egla Rufa, the same thing, when we measure cities, Egla Rufa, we want to know which city is close and so on. Let's say one city has all these mountains in between and all these valleys. You measure exactly the way it is. You don't make these imaginary ropes. Nobody see clearly when it comes to the Torah's counting, measuring, we don't use any of these tricks, Mekadrin or 50 armor ropes. And yet the Meir does. Clearly the Meir holds that Chumin is only the Rabbanon. Yes, so the question goes back. If the Meir holds Chumin is the Rabbanon, how come in our Mishnah when it comes to Shabbos the Meir is so strict? We don't know when it happened that you lost the food. And how come when it comes to Tumah, the Meir is so lenient, says the Tumah the Rabbanon? Okay, we don't know the Mikra's kasha, now it will be lenient. What's going on here? Says the Gemara, Mipnei Shel Torah, Lo Kasha, Hadidei Hadirabei. Here he's saying in his own name, and here he's saying his name is Rabbi. Dekinam, I proved to you, Tony, that it says, Shamaiti, I heard. No, the Meir is saying, not that my opinion this way. I heard Shemikadim Baharim. Maybe the Meir really holds that Tchum is a Raisa. And what you originally said, that's why in our Mishnah is Machman. You found over here, that Meir says about, you know, you can bear a hole through the mountains, imaginary holes. That's all he's saying, the name of his Rebbe. But personally, he didn't hold that way. And obviously, his Rebbe does not mean a Bakiva, because Bakiva holds Chum Zeraisa, maybe it means a Bishmol. Okay. The Rami, so ask another question, the Raisa. But what are you telling me? The words are suffix in the Torah, like by the Tumah, Rameir is Machmer. So let me ask you a question, is that really the case? Rameir holds that if it's a suffix, the Raisa, and you have a Chazakah to be lenient, from deswegen you are Machmer? Let me ask you a question, the Rami, the Raisa. The Rameir, now we learned, Noga be'echa belayla. You, let's say, touch somebody at night. You have no idea. You touch somebody. You don't know if he's asleep or if he's dead. And the following day, Hishkim, you woke up and you saw him mace. You found that he was dead. Is a mayor? Says a suffix. At the last night when you touched him, was he dead? So you tell me or not? Is a mayor? Is lenient? Says metayim, because the suffix were lenient. And the chachamim metamin. And the chachamim say you are tummy. Why the chachamim say you are tummy? And Rameir first of all says you are tummy. Why? Because the chazak is every person is alive. And now, so we have, when there's a suffix with a chazakah that's lenient, we'll rely on the chazakah that's lenient and say probably the person was alive last night. Now he died. So no, we're not saying stam, a suffix ma'atayda remeiv mekel. We're saying a suffix ma'atayda with a chazakah to give you a good reason, an assumption to be lenient, we will rely on that chazakah. So l'chayda, when it comes to the mission here by mikveh, when it comes to the case of mikveh, and when covering mitzvah is a suffix, you know, the guy is tummy mahatayra, he says we're machmer. But l'chayda, this guy was tummy before he became tummy. So why aren't we lenient and say that since a suffix went to kosher mikveh, not kosher mikveh, be lenient? Say he probably went to kosher mikveh. What's the difference? Says the Gemara, and answers the Gemara. The way he found it now is probably how it was before as well. And therefore, they argue with Rameir. Or take, for example, the case in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Rameir is Machmer. Right? We said because Tchum is the Raisa, not by Tumah, Tumah is our Mishnah.
By Tum, okay, in our Mishnah, we're talking about Chumin is the Araisa, and Rav Meir is Machna. But L'chayda, you have a Chazakin. You put food down there, and when you put it down, it was 100% good. The following morning you came there, the food is burnt, the food is gone, whatever happened to the food. So it's exactly the same case as here. So we have a suffix when it happened, suffix when the guy died. Chazakah, the guy was alive till now, so therefore, you know, whenever it changed now. Same thing over here. The food is here, Chazakah, the food is here. And let us say that it happened after Shabbos began. Why? When it comes to the Metchum, he's very machmer. I'm Rabbi Mishnah saying, I'm just talking about Shehoyah, Sheretz, Olav, Kol, Bein Hashmoshes. That there was a Sheretz there. There was a sheretz there the entire time of Bein Hashmoshes. And because there was a sheretz there the entire time of Bein Hashmoshes, there was never a chazaka, because that's when it's supposed to happen, right in the beginning of Shabbos. So there was never really a chazaka. There's eight different kinds of, you know, these creepy crawlies, or these rodents, that make tumah. And since the Eder food was definitely tumah sometime during Bein Hashmoshes, therefore, there's no chazaka. That's the point. There's no chazaka. Okay, says the Gemara, if so, so what happened? And behold, so you tell me a case that is there was a chazakah, the chazakah is gone because there was a sheretz there the whole time, and yet Rabbi Yossi says that a suffix is permitted. How can he say that a suffix is kosher? Since Bein Hashmoshes starts in the day, and then part of it is day, part of it is night, so part of it was day. So definitely Friday before Shabbos. There's a sheretz sitting there ready. So how can Rabbi Yossi say that it's toy? How can you say that you can rely on this? On the tchumen. How can you rely on it? According to everybody, the Eidav should be discounted. The food you put down there should be no good. So my answer is Rabbi Yossi and Tavayi will say, "Hocho, we know what we're talking about. Say a different case altogether. We're talking about shtekiti Eidim askim. We're talking about there were two groups of witnesses. This is the case." One of them says, we saw that it became Tameh Friday afternoon. And one of them said it happened at night. So you have two contradictory witnesses. So they both sort of cancel each other out. And that's the Machlekes. Rabbi Yossi says, even though the witnesses cancel each other out, so then we look at the Chazakah. It was kosher truma till now. Or whatever it was valid food till now. And therefore, we can totally ignore the testimony of the witnesses. We look at the Chazakah and we are Mekum. Rabbi Meir, however, holds that since there is one group that says it was Tameh before Shabbos began, they cancel the Chazakah. They clearly say there's no Chazakah anymore. And now we don't know which way to go. And since they suffered the Raisa, in this case, we don't follow the Chazakah at all. We just want, we are Machmer. But if you touch somebody at night, you don't know if it's dead or alive. There's nothing to cancel the Chazakah. So where the Chazakah is still in existence, you touch the body, you don't know if it was asleep or dead at the time, even the following morning it was dead, we'll say, well, the Chazakah was every person's alive until, you know, whenever you found them dead. So we can rely on that just turn. Over here, there's no Chazakah because they had two groups of witnesses. And one of the witnesses say it was Tameh before Shabbat began. And that rips away the Chazakah. And therefore, Ramea says, the Chazakah is gone. Rava says, even in the case of the dead body, and there were two groups. One guy said he died Friday, one guy said he died Shabbos morning. So l'chayda, you can argue also the chazak is gone. Rabbi Meir here still would be lenient. You know what Rabbi Meir would be lenient? Hasam trei chazakin lekula. There are two chazakis that are lekula. What is that? And the chazak is as follows. First of all, that the one chazak is the guy is alive until he's dead. Another one is the guy who touched it was tired until now. So you have two chazakas. First of all, the guy who touched it was tired until this moment. The question is, when did he become tameh? And the other chazaka is that people generally are alive until you find them dead. So you have, because you have a double chazaka, even though there are two witnesses that clash with two witnesses when it actually happened, but you have a double chazaka, and may say, double chazaka, and the suffix, I'm going to be lenient and say, you know what, the guy is tired. Hochen, our mission over here, Chodah Chazakah L'kul. Here in our Mishnah, we only have one Chazakah. What's the Chazakah? That the Truma was put down when it was kosher. That's all we have. We don't have a Chazakah that this guy has a right to walk 2,000 extra amos. No other Chazakahs. Since there's only one Chazakah, and you have to clash with two witnesses, and one of them rips out the Chazakah, therefore, we're going to say you cannot use it. Okay, says Gemara, fine. You dealt with Rab Meir. What about Rab Yossi? Kasha, Rab Yossi. But Rab Yossi is a problem. Rab Yossi says in our Mishnah is very lenient when it comes to Tchumen, and yet when it comes to the dead bodies, Rabbi Yossi is or comes over here to mikveh. Rabbi Yossi is the one who says by mikveh we are machmer. So luchayda, what's going on here? How can Rabbi Yossi is machmer in the case of the mikveh, and yet in the case of Shabbos he's very mekul?
Rabbi Yosef told even the Rabbanu were machmer by the case of the mikveh. We have a light tumah. Says the Gemara, shiny tumah is different. You know what Rabbi Yosef is machmer by tumah? Hoyel v'yesh lo ikim min ha-teira. The concept of tumah generally is ma-teira. So even though those particular cases only the Rabbanu, we're going to be strict. And therefore we're going to be strict. Over here, this all, the whole thing of tchum is only the Rabbanu, so therefore we're not going to be strict. Says the Gemara. What do you mean? Shabbos is not a daisy. The whole idea of Shabbos is a Torah as well. So look, and another, what do you mean? Not the whole idea of Shabbos, but Tchumin. Remember, Rabbi Kiva says that Tchumin ma Torah as well. Says the Gemara, because Rabbi Yosi Tchumin is the Rabbanon. He holds the whole thing, that Tchumin is the whole thing, the Rabbanon. That's why it's he's very Mekel. And if even if we're Mekel in this particular suffix, nobody's going to say, let's be Mekel in all other dinim of Shabbos, because Tchumin is so different than any other Malacha Shabbos. Like, nobody even thinks it's considered a malacha, so you can't make such a gzeira up. Or you by saying hadidei hadarabe, he's machmir himself, but even a safid rabbanon, which is the case of by tumah. I in our mission, he was mekel. He was saying it in the name of his rebbe. And how do we know that? Diktani om rabbi yesi av tumah's head. If tumah's testifying, mishum chamishas kain, name of five elders, she safik eight of kosher. A safik eight of his kosher. Shmamina is a good raya. And between tomorrow, we're learning another pshat in rabbi yesi.